It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table.
We are back at the table, and today we're looking at the book of Proverbs once again. We are on the final leg of this Proverbs Bible study with Sunny Shell. She's our teacher today. Welcome back, Sunny.
Thank you so much. It's great to be back.
It's great to have you back, and we're looking at the third of the three wise women that we're talking about. We've covered Zipporah, we've covered Ruth, and today we're talking about Elizabeth. Tell us about her.
Elizabeth, the one that we're talking about today, her story is found in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 80. And this is the blessed mother of John the Baptist, who is the forerunner of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, very, very precious woman. And in this, we're going to learn, as we covered before, with Zipporah, we see that a biblically submissive wife protects life. With Ruth, we see that a biblically submissive wife sows humility. And in this one, we're going to see with Elizabeth that a biblically submissive wife exudes faith. So she's going to impart, you know, on the other ones we saw, one protects life and provides and gives life to others in vigor and energy. The other one, because she has humility, she sows that in others and she builds that up in others, cultivates it in others. And Elizabeth, we're going to see how her faith strengthens the faith of those around her. So these are exciting things. Okay, well, to start with this, we see that Zechariah is actually a Levite, and so is Elizabeth. They're within the Levitical family line, mm-hmm. and Zechariah is one of the high priests. And so he's one of the guys who gets to go into the Holy of Holies once a year to see and speak with God. During that time, this was his time to go, and this is when the angel Gabriel comes to meet with him and tells him that his wife, his old wife, who was past due the time to ever have babies, basically his menopausal wife, is going to have a baby.
Oh, my goodness.
And Zechariah, in unbelief, laughs and says, yeah, no, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Zechariah. And because of that, because of his arrogance, and, you know, this guy should have known, he is a high priest. He's not just a regular guy. He studies this. He's waiting for the Messiah. He preaches this to everybody. Mm-hmm. And so he's being told that his wife is has been chosen, the blessed one, to give birth to the forerunner of the Christ, and the Christ is coming. And although he studied this, he preached this, and he's waiting for this, and this is the guy who knows it, he laughs at the angel Gabriel.
And he's face-to-face with this angel. You know, that's not a miracle in itself.
No kidding. You know, when the same thing happened with Mary, when Mary saw the angel, she was frightened. Oh no, is this good? Is this bad? She was very humble. She had quite a different attitude. As a matter of fact, she says the same thing that Zechariah says, just a little differently. She says, How can this be?
Yeah.
Out of curiosity, right? He was like, this can't be, you're silly. And so, of course, you know, Gabriel rightly has righteous anger, and he shuts Zechariah's mouth. So he can't speak anymore. As a matter of fact, it was because he was in the Holy of Holies and he wasn't answering the other priests. They thought he died when he was in there, which is something they were always afraid of. He comes out and they find out, no, he's just mute. They don't know why. They don't know what happened. They just know that he looks really scared, as he should have been to start with. Well, unlike him, Elizabeth, his wife, is humble and she is full of faith, and she accepts this with joy. And Zechariah, as I said, is struck mute for the entire time, so almost a year, while his wife is pregnant with their son, John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, the husband's always named the son, as it should be, especially the firstborn son, and that happens at the circumcision. Well, everybody knew, of course, Zechariah couldn't do this because he was mute. So the other men who were there participating in the circumcision was going to name the child, and they were going to name Zechariah because name him after their father.
Okay.
Well, Elizabeth did something that women back then do not do because it was considered very arrogant and prideful and very ungodly. She spoke in the midst of these men,
mm-hmm.
and she corrected them, but not like we would, obviously. She did it humbly and submissively, and she said when they were going to name him Zechariah, she said, no, he shall be called John, because that's what the angel Gabriel told her.
Yes.
And they were very surprised and very angry that she would not only speak to them, but publicly correct them. So, of course, they immediately turned to Zechariah, you know, like, what is your wife's problem? And, you know, and they're arguing with, John, there's nobody in your family named John. And they're just, you know, they're putting her down because they just can't believe she has the audacity to speak in the group of men and then publicly correct them. Well, in the middle of the Zechariah, he's finally been humbled. He asks for a pad and a notepad, and he writes down on there, his name is John. Hmm. And as soon as he does that, his mouth is opened because it's obvious he's finally humbled. So, you know, she humbly steps in and does something that obviously is very scary. She knows what could happen. She knows she could be thrown out. She knows she's going to be reviled. She knows all kinds of things could happen to her if she speaks up, but she does it. Because she had faith and she trusted God that he said that she was having a baby and that his name was going to be John. And she wasn't going to let her fear of man or the traditions of man bind her to the freedom that God is giving her in Christ. And so her faith then builds up her husband's faith, which actually restores his speech. Because she spoke at first. Now, you know, he could have taken the tablet to start with. It wasn't like he wasn't there when they were trying to decide what to name the child. And he could have said, his name is John, but he never did he?
He didn't. In fact, he didn't take up a tablet at the very first month of pregnancy when people were probably wondering what was going on. I always wondered that. But
that's true. I'm sure he was afraid, as he should be the whole time, to communicate anything, because his last communication didn't fare too well for him.
No, it did not.
But you see that he doesn't take the leadership in asking for a pad and saying, hey, his name is John, quit arguing. Okay, this is what God said. Mm-hmm. Instead, his wife, because she's biblically submissive, rather than lead him, she actually helps him, which is quite different than what we do. We would have stepped up and said, he can't talk, his name is John. You know, he's an idiot. He rightly got mute because of his lack of faith. Let me do this. I'm sorry, my husband isn't as spiritual as I am. We women say stuff like that all the time.
Yeah, we do, unfortunately.
Let me take the lead because I'm much more spiritual. I spend more time in Bible study than my husband does, so I'll go ahead and speak for him. And our husband's unfortunately like, okay. And we see that he was still afraid, and so she lovingly just says, no, his name is John. Mm. And then because of her great faith, because he knew what it took for her to say that, he knew which was being jeopardized, and he knew the fear that probably consumed her. But she feared God more than she feared man.
The faith that she has is amazing. And these are gifts, spiritual gifts given by God himself to her. The ability for her to believe and act the way she did in humility.
Yes, yes. To say something that is right and correct, whether it's in public or before her husband or before other men, but not in a way where she's usurping someone's authority and making them feel like idiots and morons and that she's superior, but in a way where she comes underneath them submissively, just like Christ came and made nothing of himself. You know, she did the same thing. She made nothing of herself, but she still said and did the right thing. And that gave strength to her husband. She didn't point fingers at him. She didn't do anything that would be disrespectful and dishonoring to him. She just lovingly, without fear, spoke the truth, and it built up her husband that he asked for a tablet and said, hey, look, his name is John, basically, like she said, and they were shocked.
This is a great study I'm really liking this one, Sunny, because we all want to know, you know, what does a biblically submissive wife or woman look like? And here we've got it laid out right in the lives of these three godly women in the Bible. We've had Zipporah, Ruth, and now Elizabeth. They protect life, they sow humility, and they exude faith. What a beautiful picture of how we today can just be blessed by these gifts.
Yes, and there's great homework at the end of this lesson regarding all three of these gals and how women can actually apply these truths to their life and what that looks like. So they want to get online and download the lesson.
Yeah, I highly recommend that. And Sunny's got some instructions on how to do this homework and what you'll need to have for tools, even some memorization going on. So if you're a woman who's kind of put off memorizing scripture, well, we're going to challenge you a little bit on this one. And please accept that lovingly and willingly, because you're going to love what happens in your life when you memorize scripture, that Holy Spirit breathed out scripture written on your own heart. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Sunny, thank you. Thank you so much for taking us through the Proverbs woman. I've really enjoyed this series. Hey, when we come back, more at the table. We'll be right back.